Well, good morning again. Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. And as always, I hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel His Spirit. If you are visiting with us this morning, I especially want to welcome you. I know we've got some families here with their seniors and some others that may be visiting this morning. If you are visiting and don't mind us knowing you were here, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that. But sure would love to know that you were here, and there's a spot there that you can put your email address. If you want to be on our email list, you can put your email address down there and check the little box that you want to be added to our email list, and we'll get you added. Immediately after the service, I will be in the foyer down at that end with a free gift. Somebody say free gift with me.
Free gift.
A free gift. Ed, you can't have one. You already been here. Free gift for our visitors. So if you'd like to come, I'd like to meet you and visit with you, and I'll be out there. If you don't make it out there, you can just leave your blue card there in the seat pocket. I mean, in the chair seat this morning. So if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 12. This book of Romans is attributed to the Apostle Paul. We pick it up in verse 1, Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We trust that you're already here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak. To speak in power and authority, and may your words not go out void. May they transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's sermon, I'm calling How Are You Calibrated? How are you calibrated? Now, I think I have an idea who gave me this, who laid this up on my podium this morning. What's this called?
Caliper.
Right? So that word calibrate, to calibrate, I was, that word kind of stuck out to me as I was thinking of what to name this message today. The word calibrate, let's talk about that for just a second. It gets much more complicated than I'm wanting to go into today, but a very general definition of that word that I came up with is to measure against a standard, to measure against a standard. Now, I need a couple of volunteers. Brent and Miller, thank you so much for volunteering. Come on up here. Let's give Brent and Miller a hand. Man, guys, that was the quickest volunteering I've seen in a while. Way to go. All right, so I've made y'all a little measuring apparatus here. So what we're... You know, there's when you take this altar table out, if we have, you know, VBS or something else and we remove the altar table, there's a spot in here that has to have some stairs. We got some stairs, and it hasn't been fitting really properly, so I want to... Could you guys measure the length of that altar table? We want to get those steps correct. Let me know if you have any trouble. What are you coming up with? Oh. So, what is it?
5 foot 10 inches.
Now, are you stretching? Or are you leaving it kind of loose? Oh, it really doesn't matter. Just y'all, just give me your best guess. What, 5 foot 10? That's 5 foot 10. Now, give him a hand. Everybody, give him. Don't leave. Give him a hand. Now, show them. You kind of illustrated it already. It's not a very good measuring apparatus, is it? Yeah. Give him one to end by. Oh, man. Oh, that's wrong. So here, let me have that one. This is one I kind of came up with. It's really not all that great. Here, try this one. It might be better. You had 5'10". Let's see what it really comes out to with a proper measuring device. What is it?
6 feet
even? Okay. So your 5'10 was off a little bit, Miller, but you're off a little bit, so we understand. It's okay. It was Brent's fault. That's my tape measure, man. Let me have the tape measure back. All right, everybody give him a hand. Well, thank you. Here's the issue. The reason I wanted to kind of do that goofy little illustration is our lives are calibrated. We have a standard that we live by. Now, whether we know it or not, we have a standard that we live by, even if that standard is all over the place. And the thing about, the reason I kind of came up with this, is if it doesn't quite fit, we can just make it fit, can't we? We can leave it kind of loosey-goosey, or we can stretch it to be the way we want it to be. That's the way we seem to conduct ourselves in our culture. That's the way our culture conducts itself. So I want to just go a little bit deeper into this scripture today. The first thing I want to talk about is the world's standard is contrary to God's. The world's standard is contrary to God's. We need to understand that. Now, verse 2, the very beginning of verse 2 here says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What does that insinuate? The world has a pattern, right? The world has a pattern. And Paul is admonishing us, God's word is admonishing us, don't conform to that pattern. The world has a pattern. It's contrary to God's. Don't conform to that any longer. I want to read it to you out of 2 Peter. I think it's in your notes there if you want to follow along. But above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. Have you ever, you know, I guess as I'm reading this, I want us to understand that this is truly God's standard. I'll finish reading that scripture in a minute, but I got sidetracked. I want us to understand that God has a standard, and we can learn about God's standard right here. Now, I've said this before, but I want to say it again this morning because I want it to always be very clear. If you ever hear anything come out of this pulpit that does not line up with this, I want you to challenge me. I want you to challenge me. And I'll tell you, when I open up this pulpit to someone else, I have a responsibility to this pulpit. The conference has appointed me to this church, and I have a responsibility of what comes out of this pulpit. So if I ask Billy or Marv or Jim or someone else to bring a message here, I'm comfortable that those guys are going to be following God's standard as well. So if you ever hear anything contrary to God's word come out of this pulpit, please challenge me. So the first thing that we have to understand or that we have to come to grips with, do we believe this? Because quite frankly, if you don't believe God's word, then everything else I'm going to say today is a waste of time. You have to determine, do you believe God has spoken? You've heard me say this before. Do you believe God has spoken? Or do you not? That's the question. We have to wrestle with that. We have to come to that place in faith. Yes, I believe God has spoken, and I've preached several times, and we'll do it again on how we got this in our hands. But one of the things that, as I studied that, one of the things that really staggered me is the cost to so many people for us to have the privilege of owning a Bible. Why would there, first of all, back centuries ago, the church was the only one that had the Bible. And guess what happens when you've got that kind of control? It's kind of this dictatorship of God's word. Then you get corruption. You get corruption, there began to be corruption, and because the people couldn't read it themselves, so it had whatever the preacher said, whatever the priest said, had that was fact. That was the gospel, so to say. Now, as God's word began to be put in the hands of common folks like you and I, and translated into different languages, I have to go back and review my church history, but Wycliffe, I think maybe, as he was translating the Bible, as he was getting this I think he was the one that was burned at the stake using Bibles as kindling. Why would they do that? Because they knew that there was power in God's word. And they knew that if we got a hold of God's word, that we would know how to conduct ourselves. We would know what was true and what was God's will. So with that backdrop, let's read again 2 Peter. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. You've heard that all the time. People that are not believers, they will say things like, it's just a bunch of goofy men wrote that. Just a bunch of goofy men. Peter seems the one who actually ate and drank and saw the resurrected Jesus. He seems to say different. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for the prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God's word. But there were also, he's speaking of God's word. Now he turns over to this world standard. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. I love that. The sovereign Lord who bought them. They deny even him. Bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. The way of truth. Truth, when you speak of truth, you seem to be saying that there is truth, which means there's also lies. You have truth and lies, the world and God. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. A few years ago, we had a college student. It's been a long time, so I think our current crew didn't even know this young lady. But she was a college student, and she was helping out with our youth. And she was just a really neat girl. I just really liked her a lot. In all honesty, she reminded me of my oldest daughter, and I told her that. I said, "You remind me of my oldest daughter," and I thought just a good heart, a genuine heart, and she was taking another opportunity to go and go into a different environment, I remember calling her into my office, and I just set her down, and I just said, "I just want to tell you first of all how much I think of you. What a great young lady I think you are, and the huge potential that I think is out there for you." And I knew that she was vulnerable, but she had not had a real grounded upbringing in the Word. And I said, "Please," and I held up my Bible and I said, "Please, as you go into this new chapter," because I knew that where she was going was very vulnerable to things that were not of the truth of God. I said, "Please measure everything you hear, measure everything that people are telling you and things that are coming into your life, measure it against the standard of God's word." And I prayed for her and sent her on her way. I'm sorry to say, a few years later, I mean, I'm hearing and seeing things and all. It's like, she didn't do it. She was vulnerable to the lies of the enemy, what is contrary, the world standard, which is contrary to God's word. And quite frankly, it broke my heart. Still breaks my heart. The world standard, we have the world, we have God's standard, and they're contrary to one another. Secondly, conforming to God's standard requires transformation. We see it in verse 2 again. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's a good way to renew our mind? Read God's Word. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the reading of His Word and letting the Holy Spirit and bring to life God's Word. This is a living, breathing book, the Bible is. To read God's Word and let it transform our mind. If we are not in God's Word, church, we are vulnerable. I'm just telling you, we are vulnerable to the world standard, which is contrary to God's standard. I want you to, as I'm talking through all this stuff, I want you to think about different positions you have on different issues of our day. There's a gazillion of them. Just all the different things that are flowing through our conversation. Just think about Facebook, and that's a pretty good snapshot of the things that are going on in our culture. All the different opinions and things that are being tossed around in social media. So, where do you stand on those issues? And not only where do you stand, but why do you stand there? I mean, whatever your position is on any of these gazillion issues, why do you stand there? Is it because God's Word said so? I mean, we're seeing it in our denomination where, sometimes I just throw up my hands and I just go, what in the world are we doing with some of this stuff? What are we doing? Just open the book and just read it, for heaven's sake. On any number of issues. It's not isolated to one issue. I mean, I've actually, I played it a few years ago, two years ago. There was, he's not a pastor anymore, he's at his church. He was a pastor of this mega church. And the video clip with he and Oprah, well, I'm trying to remind me, Rob Bell, and I'm not, this is not Trash Rob Bell Sunday, but I'm just saying Rob Bell is a guy that had a tremendous amount of influence. He was a pastor of this mega church and everything, and he was following God's Word, and he just kind of went whoop. And this interview that I played a couple of years ago with him and Oprah, they're talking about all these issues of the day, and here he said something to the, this is a paraphrase, he said something to the effect of, well, if we're going to base our beliefs on this book that was written 2,000 years ago, what's that about? I mean, I went, bingo, bingo. We think we know better. We think we know better. We think we know better on all these issues. But what has God said? What has God said about any number of issues? Conforming to God's standard requires transformation of our minds through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus says that He is the way and the truth and the life. Now, if you really unpack that just a little closer, He's the way, which means there's another way. There's an alternative way. He's the life, the truth, which means there's truth and there's lie. He's the life, which means there's life and there's death. I mean, He's saying, we have choices. But for Him, if you go to Him, He's the way and the truth and the life. And so if we keep our eyes fixed on Him, He will never let us down. Conform, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And number three, God's will is the target. God's will is the target. And if we look at the end of verse 2, so he says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he has a then state, remember? He's setting it up. And then he says, then when you do that, if you reject the pattern of the world, if your mind is transformed by the Word of God, then, if that happens, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So you want to know what God's will is? Reject the lies of the world, embrace the truth of God's Word, and then you will know what His perfect will is. That's what the Scripture's telling us. But if we embrace the ways of the world, we just make it up as we go. And that's what's happening in our culture, church. We just make it up as whatever the latest poll, whoever is in political power, whatever our friends are saying, whatever's popular. Sometimes we do things because it's popular with other people. Some people are just antagonists. They just say and do things because they want to be different. But nonetheless, it's still seeking our own way. So if we reject the pattern of the world, if we transform by the renewing of our mind, by God's word, then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Now, so that's the target, church. What would God have us do? How would God have us behave? What would God have us think about? What would God have us speak about? How would God have us respond to someone that says something on Facebook? You know, most of the time for me, it's just silence. Just like, man, I ain't wading into that. Now, if somebody wants to sit with me and discuss any issue they want to, I welcome that. I'm glad to do that. But, man, we try to throw this stuff out there on social media and work it all out. I'm just like, whew, I don't want any part of that. If you're in that category, please stop. Please stop. Renew your mind. Seek God's will. Seek His heart. Romans 8. Same book that we're in, but in chapter 8 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So if you ever just don't know what to pray for, church, and you don't know what God's will is for a particular situation in your life, just sit and just say, Holy Spirit, I don't have a clue what to even pray. I don't even know what to pray. But I'm here. I'm listening. Intercede. This passage is actually my prayer every week as I begin to prepare a sermon for the Holy Spirit to intercede from me to the Father and from the Father to me, to give me His heart, His mind, His words, because you don't need to hear from me. We need to hear from God. But He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. There it is. God's will is the target, and the Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with God's will. That's a great prayer to just go, God, I don't know what to pray. That's a great prayer. Help me. That's a great prayer. We think we've got to have this eloquent Billy Graham type prayer. Sometimes it's just, Lord, help me, please. I don't know the answer. So, and I've been already speaking to this, so how do we know God's will? It's getting into His Word, getting into His Word. And 2 Timothy, this is one of my favorite books, 2 Timothy. Paul is speaking to his protege, Timothy, as he's coming to the end of his life. And he says, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So let's slow down a minute and listen to that. Hear it. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So salvation lies in here. That's what it's saying. But, of course, if you haven't already decided that you believe God's word, then, again, I'm wasting my breath and you're wasting your time even listening. We must understand. We must make the decision. Has God spoken or has He not? And then it goes right on into that, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed. Don't you love that? Another translation says God-inspired. I like God-breathed. I just think about God, just the breath of God in us, the breath of God in His Word. It's God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It almost sounds like he's talking about God's will. So that God's will can be carried out. You know, the danger that we have sometimes is when we talk about living by God's standard, is thinking that it's an easy journey to think that if we can be good enough to earn God's favor. It's a slippery slope to get into to salvation by works. Now, that's not biblical either. To be a holy and righteous people, to be a people of truth, is our response to a God who already loves us. And so that brings us to this meal. You know, as you're partaking of communion today, I want you to just picture yourself. I'm just kind of have that mental image of you're at the foot of the cross and you're looking up at Jesus, and he's hanging on the cross and he looks down at you and he has that look of love, and you know you don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. He has that look of love in his eyes, like, I did this because I love you. A few weeks ago on Palm Sunday, I talked about how, you know, 13 times it's recorded in the Gospels where Jesus told his disciples, I'm going into Jerusalem and I'm going to be beaten and I'm going to be whipped and I'm going to be falsely accused and I'm going to be killed, and then I'm going to rise on the third day. He told them what was coming. And then another scripture says that he's leading the way into Jerusalem after he's told them what's going to happen. And why did he do that? Because he loves you. Man, if you get that, church, that's powerful in our lives. If you don't get it, it's just words. But this body was intentionally, his body was intentionally broken because he loves you. And he not only knew that he would be killed, but he knew he was going to a cross. It was prophesied hundreds of years before he was even born. And he had seen crucifixions before. If you lived in that region, you'd seen them. And he knew that it was a torturous, violent death. And yet, his blood was poured out for you and for me because he loves you. I want to, if you would, just take a moment as we come into this time of communion. The invitation comes from Christ. It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from Wiley Methodist. The invitation comes from Christ. And the invitation is, if you love me and you remember the sacrifice that I have made for you, come and partake in this meal. Remember me. So that is the invitation to you today. If you repent of your sin, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are invited to this table. You don't have to be. It's one of the great things about our church, about our denomination, is that we see this, we understand this is an open table for all believers. You don't have to call yourself Methodist. You don't have to call yourself anything except a follower of Jesus Christ. And so this table is open. If you're not a member of our church or not a member of any church, you're invited to come. Also, if you don't want to partake this morning, no one is forcing you to come as well. You have that freedom as well, but I hope you feel welcome. So it begins with repentance, church. If you'll just bow your heads and just confess your own sins before a holy God that loves you, confess your sins to him silently. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, church. Those who are serving and the praise team and sound team will come forward, please.